105 FM KCSN and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
Time in the world, things wanna flesh and thunder loves me back. And in lightning, I can keep my energy intact. And when the lightning is like the sun, I feel what love could be. Truly illuminated, the future does lay
gives me great joy to say Feist is back. Multitudes is the new album, her first since 2017, and she announced it on Valentine's Day with three songs. That one, In Lightning, is the lead track on the new album, which is out April 14th. I'll have more Shiro music news to share with you this hour. Also, we heard Sharon Van Etten, who celebrates her birthday this week on Sunday, the 26th. And with that, I welcome you, my friends, to Shiro's Radio. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It's so great to see you, as always. And together, we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. Stay with us for this week's featured interview with Miss Grit to celebrate the release of their full-length debut, Follow the Cyborg. Feist is not the only one making a welcome return. While it isn't a new album, I'll take any new music any day of the week from Janelle Monáe. This is Float.
light as a feather, I'm light as a feather, yeah, baby, I float. It's hard to look at my resume, whew, and not find a reason to close. She throwing a thing in a circle, making it viral, I might just a loaf. Say, listen, little mama, you like Shibari? Watch while I show you the ropes. I used to let niggas get to me. I used to be my own enemy. Now I done had several epiphanies over some breakfast at Tiffany's. Had to forgive all my frenemies. They are not who they pretend to be. I had to protect all my energy. I'm feeling much lighter. Now I look. I'm doing my dance on catamarans and you got a coat. I'm counting my blessings, we ain't stressing, just look at this glow. I got that magic, I'm really prepared for whatever, whenever, so who wants to smoke? Came back from the future to take all y'all niggas and take all y'all whores. They said I was by, yeah baby, I'm by a whole nother coast. She stay in the hills, he stay in Atlanta, I pay for them both. My face card don't come with a limit, I swipe it, I spin it, I swear I be doing the most. Look.
Rolling Stone.
On and on,
on and on.
All I do, the boat just
I'll go on. to the God job.
Happy Born Day to Erykah Badu. Hers is Sunday the 26th and on She Rose Radio. And also new stuff from Janelle Monae. Awesome track called Float. I'm Carmel Holt. And next up, it's a not to miss featured interview with Miss Grit. Stay with me.
This is what listener powered radio sounds like. The SoCal Sound.
Support for 88.5 The SoCal Sound is made possible by Subaru of Glendale. The Subaru, Forester, and Outback are ready for your winter adventures. At the core of Subaru of Glendale's business is their focus on caring for customers, employees, and the community. In the service department, factory-trained technicians use specialized tools and genuine Subaru parts. Located on Brand Boulevard, just off the 5 and 134 freeways. Information available at SubaruofGlendale.com. That's SubaruofGlendale.com.
Support for the SoCal Sound comes from Music Head Gallery, celebrating its 25th anniversary. Music Head Gallery is dedicated to preserving music's rich heritage. The gallery hosts world premiere exhibitions, book signings, and concerts. Music Head displays thousands of photographs, art prints, posters, and books. Founder Sam Milgram has curated a new exhibition of giant photographs now on display, located on Sunset Boulevard across from Guitar Center. More information at musichead.com.
Support for the SoCal Sound comes from the Kingston Trio. In celebration of nearly 65 years of music, the iconic folk group performs their best loved songs, including Where Have All the Flowers Gone and Tom Dooley, as part of the Keep the Music Playing National Tour, including two nights at the historic El Portal in North Hollywood. Ticket info at KingstonTrio.com.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago.
Thanks to our friends at Live Nation, the SoCal Sound has your chance to see the Warren Treaty on the Lover's Game Tour at the Constellation Room at the Observatory March 24th. You can find contest rules and enter to be eligible to win a pair of tickets at thesocalsound.org. No purchase necessary. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. The Warren Treaty, Constellation Room, March 24th.
Sounds like Orange County, Los Angeles, Ventura County, San Diego. 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. According to Women's Audio Mission, fewer than 5% of the people creating the sounds, music, and media in the daily soundtrack of our lives are women or gender-expansive individuals. And when you look at the percentage of female record producers, that number is even smaller. In the latest study of the music industry issued by USC Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, only 2.8% of producers were women. So it's super exciting to bring you a conversation this week with someone who studied music technology at NYU and at just 25 is a brilliant producer and engineer of their own work, and in my humble opinion, is about to have their biggest year yet. Margaret Sohn, aka Miss Grit, studied guitar from age 6 and started writing and producing their own songs in college. Their self-produced debut EP, Talk Talk, arrived in 2019, the effect of its unexpected success reflected in the aptly titled Impossible Imposter EP in 2021, which also saw Margaret grappling with their sense of displacement as a Korean-American growing up in the Midwest. And now, the polymath Margaret Soan has returned with a visionary, self-engineered and produced full-length debut called Follow the Cyborg. We celebrate its release as they join us now as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Margaret Soan, a.k.a. Miss Grit, welcome to Shiro's. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is an exciting moment. Release week for Follow the Cyborg, your full-length debut album. Should we dive in? You want to tell us the story of these songs?
Yeah.
Is this a pandemic record? I guess most things are right now, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I started writing this like 2019, so just before, and then I finished it in early 2021. I was just really, really inspired by the myth of the cyborg, watching these movies growing up, Ex Machina, Her, Ghost in the Shell, Serial Experiments Lane, the anime, and reading texts from Gia Tolentino's Chick Mirror, Donna Haraway's A Cyborg Manifesto, and writing music through prompts and metaphors is something that's really helpful for me, just because the lyric process is really scary because it's a very vulnerable moment. And so having something to channel and not necessarily use it as a shield, but more as like a sword to wield. And I've been trying to be more gentle with myself recently and finding all these ways that I protect myself from the outside world and not being down on myself for it, but accepting it really for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I could go deep here and say that in addition to maybe wanting to shield yourself from vulnerability, that also is a very natural impulse for women and non-binary people.
Yeah, totally. I think it really comes from being born into these identities and having the world already make up their mind about what that means for you as a person. And it's something that I'm constantly thinking about. How did I get here? How did my personality find its way to where it is now? And the process of dissecting all these things, the patriarchy or capitalism or the gender binary, all these different social norms are, yeah, things that you don't question when you're little. You're just given it as a label, as an identity. And the time of questioning is a time to like really grow as a person and find exactly what it is that is at your core and makes you you, I guess.
And no place like New York City to do that for you.
Yeah, really.
Margaret Soan, a.k.a. Miss Grit, our guest on Shiro's. The new album is Follow the Cyborg. Let's play a clip of a song here. Where do you want to start today?
Should we start with the title track?
Hell yeah. Talk to us about the song and where this fell in the timeline.
This song was near the end of the full album, and I think it is the song that I hold closest to my heart on this entire project. Lyrically, it's about approaching identity in a limitless way, specifically gender. And sonically, I was trying to give myself permission to dive more fully into the electronic world, and I wrote a lot of this record using virtual instruments, like on my computer, as opposed to like analog synthesizers, which I was using on previous EPs to create a more limitless environment. This song is the turning point from the first half of the record to the second half. It's where that questioning comes into the story and where the character starts to develop a more personal way of identifying and take more of their own liberty and choosing their identity, I think. And so the song is the turning point from being the creation made by the creator to becoming a character of its own, I think.
I'll wake up pretending.
title track to the full-length debut by Miss Grit. Margaret Sohn is here with us on She Rose Radio. I'm Carmel Holt. Now, immediately following the English version of Follow the Cyborg, we have the Korean version.
Yeah. This song, I wanted to treat like a documentation of where I was at the point in my life when I was writing this album. And it was a way for me to express my own Korean-American identity, being biracial, not growing up knowing the Korean language, and being at a point in my life where I'm starting to take Korean lessons and indulge more in the culture, as opposed to growing up and having people tell me how it is to be an Asian-American. I think I really just wanted to take the opportunity to try exploring it for myself and document it and record it without any judgment coming from myself or the outside world, and take this little snapshot.
Would you be willing to share with us what you've discovered thus far?
Yeah, I guess one of the big takeaways from making this record, making that song specifically, is that being a mixed person, I'm always going to have a complicated relationship with my racial identity. And it has a lot to do with the context of the world that I'm in and the time. And because of that, it's going to be a forever changing identity, and allowing myself to explore that change and embracing it more in a fluid way rather than having it be a singular label.
Yeah, labels are tricky. So I'm curious about that part of your experience as an artist out in the world, interacting with the press, what navigating that has been like for you, and whether you do still feel like there's a need for us to have these signifiers and identifiers, you know, like I'm biracial, in front of, I'm an artist, I'm a musician, I'm a guitarist.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the funny thing with labels, especially non-binary labels, is that we're asking to be identified in a more fluid way, but then also putting a specific label on it. But I think that that's the reality of language, in that like we always have to be putting words to new meanings and new understandings of things. And there is the ability to change and have our language change. And I think creating safe spaces where people feel like they're allowed to change and change in front of people is something that's really important too. And talking with my friend about like interviews recently, I was telling her how sometimes I feel really nervous about interviews because I feel like I have to like stay true to my word and I can't change my mind after that and like go back on it. I have to be like confident in the words that I'm saying, but I'm really trying to give myself a bit of grace in that sense. And everyone's changing every second of life, so it only makes sense that I'm not going to be the person that I was like 2 seconds ago. So I've just got to allow myself to change in front of people and not be scared of that vulnerable aspect. Yeah.
And kudos to you for being brave enough to do that. And it's always a head scratcher to me when popular culture doesn't want artists to change. And I think about what you said a little while ago about pushing yourself on this album to use non-analog music making as a tool, which distances yourself from the guitar, which is, I think, your first instrument, right?
Yeah, my first instrument. Yeah, I think something that we all instinctually do is when we find something that we love or really like hold close to our hearts, we want to hold on to it forever and never let go of it. And so I find sometimes I can do this in relationships where I'm scared of like where they're going to change to, and always trying to just like hold on to every moment so tightly. But I think that's not necessarily respecting the beauty of life or of relationships or of music or self-expression. And I think appreciating it for what it is in the moment or what it was and allowing it to move forward into something new is more respectful of self-expression and the beauty of change.
It occurs to me too that by stretching yourself in this new way sonically, that you're also in step with the concept of this record. Was it a conscious choice on your part?
Honestly, I wasn't consciously doing it in the moment, but I think subconsciously I was definitely inspired by the concept of the album, creating from these texts and movies. And I was just thinking a lot about my approach to music and where the tensions lie in my creative process. And a lot of the tensions that came up for me were during the actual recording process, where I felt limited by what was at my hands in terms of instruments or recording equipment. Being small artists, it's financially really difficult to actually record professionally and be in a studio and use analog gear. And it just turns into a huge limitation. And so I think I was definitely inspired subconsciously by this idea of accepting more of like a limitless way of thinking. Yeah.
Do you want to point us to a song on the album that might connect with that?
I think Lane would be a big one that I really didn't tense up when I was writing it. And I just let it all flow out of me and pound on the keyboard weird random notes that didn't really make sense together, but just felt right.
That's track four, Lane, and in parentheses, Phone Clone, from the new Miss Grit album, Follow the Cyborg. And Margaret Sohn is our guest on She Rose. My name is Carmel Holt. All these thoughts are coming to me, thinking about the cyborg and the binary. And when I think about robots, that they're still hypersexualizing women when they're making cyborgs and robots. And the movies that you quoted, the females are always so hypersexualized. It's fascinating.
Yeah, that's what I loved about Ex Machina, because this is a major spoiler if you haven't seen it, but she being the main character, Ava, the cyborg, she leans into that, into her sexuality, into the romantic interest between her and her creator, or Caleb, who is the other programmer. But she takes that and uses it as a tool to find her freedom, really, because she understands that that's what she was intended for, and that's ultimately the creator's weakness. And I just thought that was like a really beautiful and powerful way of addressing the pattern of creating female presenting like cyborgs or artificial intelligence. Yeah.
So did that play a role at all in any of the songwriting for this album?
Yeah, definitely on the track, The End. It's a very like revenge filled song, and one that leans into the submissiveness expected of the female cyborg. And yeah, I just kind of wanted to make it like a up song a bit.
For those of us that don't know you, and this is our first time meeting each other, I would love to get to know your backstory a little bit prior to coming to New York City and going to NYU. How did you and music meet up in your life?
My parents aren't musicians really, but they just are really big music lovers. And, you know, my dad would play Talking Heads, Led Zeppelin. My mom would play The Cure, Fiona Apple around the house. And so music was just a really beautiful source of entertainment in our family from a young age. And me and my sisters all loved to like sing together around the piano. And my dad actually went to Guitar Center one year and bought us a microphone and recording software so that we could like sing into the microphone and record our ourselves all together. So that was like one of my earliest experiences in recording technology and stuff. And
that's amazing. Yeah. How old were you?
I was maybe like 7 or something. It was pretty young, but I was just starting to play guitar at that time too. I started playing guitar when I was 6, and it was a fun time for my musical journey. There was a lot to explore and not a whole lot of pressure at that time.
So when did the music making start to become something that you were creating?
It was honestly pretty late. Throughout high school, I would write music for certain assignments just because I thought that that was an easy way for me to get a good grade. But it wasn't until college that I started the moniker Miss Grit and really just went in with the intention of writing music that I could be proud of or that I personally loved. It was always a really scary thing for me to test my songwriting skills because it's obviously like something that I've loved my whole life. And so I was putting a lot of pressure on having to be a good songwriter. But my sophomore year of college, I was in my dorm room at NYU alone, like while people were away for holiday break, and something really triggered that motivation where I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna shut myself in this room for like 2 weeks and write music for the first time that I would be okay with sharing with people. And it was a really fun experience. Yeah.
Okay. So can you take us to that moment?
Yeah. At the time, I was working as a studio technician at NYU for the music technology floor.
That was your major, right? It was music technology?
Yeah, music technology. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was working as a studio technician and I was doing my rounds around the studios and making sure all the mixers were all set up right and computers. And I remember it was my first single release of Talk Talk. And I decided that I would work with PR for that release. And I was lucky enough to like have the extra cash that I had saved up from doing a couple like soul-sucking modeling gigs. Just seeing that article written about me was like really crazy. I was just in the studios doing my job and then seeing an article about me was really, yeah, it was really crazy. I felt a lot of happiness because there was so much worry going into it and a lot of self-doubt, but having that was a really validating moment.
Your second EP was called Imposter. I know that you were struggling a little bit with imposter syndrome. How did you push through that?
I think my motivation to get over that came from a place of anger, honestly. Being in the music technology department, being surrounded by a lot of men, white men, I was really aware that the things I was being taught were taught to me from a singular perspective. And so that, of course, isn't helpful for everyone when you're learning. And I think something that's really helped me is I have a really deep love for visually cute things, kawaii things. And I put a lot of effort into my home studio and making it a really like cute and comfortable space for me that sparks joy, you know? So leaning into that and reframing the way I visually see technology and these instruments has been really helpful in finding my own voice visually, making all these synths and hardware things that look really scary on the outside to be a bit cuter and put like little stickers on them and stuff.
That's amazing. And a really good tip for any aspiring woman or non-binary person that wants to get into production. And may there be more. I mean, yeah. I'm so glad that you touched on that because it's crazy to me. I mean, we've still got a little ways to go when it comes to changing that. And it's interesting to think about technology as a gendered thing. Like, I wonder, you know, because you were saying visually how you're making your studio cute. I'm like, what if we were to work on that too? Like, boosting the femme a little bit in technology and making it a little bit more welcoming.
I'm always thinking that, like, if it was more femme dominated, maybe like a lot of these things would look a lot prettier and not look so ugly.
Totally. It's such a good point. Do you think that you would ever want to produce for others or engineer for others?
I mean, I would love to. I think I'm still fighting that like imposter syndrome in production, and it comes with a certain amount of confidence that unfortunately a lot of femmes don't have, I think.
Why do you think that is?
I think just being, in the male dominated industry, it's just hard to picture yourself in these different roles that you don't see other women or non-binary people already like being a part of. It also just comes with a lot of insecurities because working with men or more masculine people, it's just a different style and perspective, I think. I mean, it changes with each personality, but I found that that has been the case, and it can sometimes be a little tricky to communicate in a way that is good for both parties involved. But I've been really enjoying getting to know a lot of non-binary and female musicians and hearing about their experiences in the music industry and reminding myself that I don't have to serve this masculine confidence that I think that I need to serve when I'm producing or if I were to produce someone else's work, and reminding myself that approaching it in a way that's more true to my femininity is something that's not a bad thing and I should lean into.
Yeah. And it breaks my heart when I hear artists say, gosh, I would love to work with a woman as a producer or as a mix engineer, but there just aren't any of them. I'm like, that's not true. Yeah. It's just that they're not getting hired and they're not on our radar, you know? And I do think that it makes a difference, those choices that we make.
Yeah.
Do you think that it makes a difference?
I feel like it makes a huge difference. Communication styles and collaboration and how it's viewed right now is from a very like masculine perspective, I think. Mm-hmm. The idea that if you're going to collaborate, you need to be confident and know exactly what you want. And the way we think of it right now is definitely shaped by the patriarchy. And I think adding more feminine voices or non-binary voices into these crews or engineers or producers is going to evolve the way that we view or the way we communicate through collaboration. And yeah, I just remember like being in music tech and we were expected to get internships and what it was expected of us as interns, you know, to be like flies on the wall and not speak up. And the engineer is the boss. And just like, yeah, the power dynamic is something that's really nailed into you, I think, when you're learning and trying to get these experiences under your belt. So it contributes to how you see yourself fit in the power chain, I guess. Yeah.
Which is crazy to hear you say. You even had the benefit of a formal education to think about all of the artists that are out there that want to have that language, that want to be able to express themselves when it comes to the recording process or when they get out into a live setting and they just get steamrolled at like left and right, you know? And you just wonder what music would sound like if there was a more welcoming, open, collaborative, equal playing field out there, you know?
Without someone's voice being louder than the others. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think about that a lot too in terms of socioeconomics and class and how accessibility of gear and recording equipment and all these different things that are blocked by finances, it all really shapes the way we create music and the genres that come out from different people. Like, I think of Bjork and how she writes these extremely beautiful orchestra pieces and performs live with a full orchestra and is totally limitless in that way because she has access to it. And what if that tool was given to someone just starting out? How would that shape the way that they create?
Miss Grit is here with us on She Rose Radio, Margaret Sohn. Her debut album, the full-length debut, is Follow the Cyborg. I was curious to talk to you about some of your She Rose. Who has been inspiring to you along the way?
The major ones are Bjork and St. Vincent. The way that they approach music and fighting the like boundaries that society is putting all of us within. I've also been really inspired by Yeji. She makes really amazing electronic music and she does it with such a softness. Also, thank God for Karen O, because growing up, she was the only musician that I could look to. I mean, I'm sure there was more out there, but just like on my radar, she was the only Asian American femme artist that I was listening to. The others were just white dudes. And I just love her so much. And I was in a cover band in high school and we would do Yeah Yeah Yeahs covers, and having the opportunity to even channel her power and like voice was just really a fun experience. So having people to look up to, like Michelle's Honor too, has been a really integral part of creating my music and just finding the confidence to express myself in that way.
Hopefully you aren't finding that people are lumping you in with them just because they're right, Asian Americans right. too. You know, they're like, oh, they're just like Japanese breakfast. Right? It's like, no.
Yeah, definitely get that a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. How do you handle that?
I get Mitski a lot too, which is like a huge compliment. All these are huge compliments, even though I'm not sure how accurate they are. I do like try to give people some grace, I guess. It comes from a lack of exposure to more diverse artists. And in that way, it is their responsibility. They really should be exposing themselves to more different artists so that they don't see us in such a singular way. And it can be frustrating, but it makes me feel the connection towards Japanese Breakfast, Mitski, Karen O even stronger because I'm sure they all also are having this experience.
There's this fine line between proudly wearing our identities and being tokenized.
Mm, totally.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mind f- 'cause like I was going through like a point where I really just wanted to be a guitarist for other bands. That was during the college years. And I found myself getting in these situations a lot where I really felt like I was being tokenized. People were just wanting to hire me for that purpose and I was just being used as a prop. And it's really confusing because you don't know if it's your talent or what you are to these people. And it's not something that you can really know for a fact unless someone admits it outright.
It is confusing. And I don't really have any answers. Yeah. I wish I did as to how we can fix that. But Margaret,
yes.
My dear Margaret, I bestow upon you the Shiro's magic wand. And with it, you have the power to change anything for women and non-binary folks in music.
So, so much. I think something that I would like to see shift is the importance that is placed on our identity. And while I think it's extremely important to talk about it, like I've loved our conversation today, I think there's a point in the grand conversation of the music industry where we need to get past that and look at people more complexly, if that's a word. We need to get to a point where it's not just like I'm the Asian American non-binary artist and it's more just like I'm Miss Grit and this is my art.
I'm Miss Grit. This is my art. Margaret, thank you so much for
thank
being
you
with
so
us.
Much.
Choose a track for us, if you would, to take us out today.
Let's do this thinking. This is about choosing yourself over being the crutch for someone else to rely on.
I've never felt.
With thanks once again to Margaret Sohn. Miss Grit, thank you for being with us on Shiro's.
Thank you so much.
Many thanks once again to Margaret Sohn, a.k.a. Miss Grit, for being with us. The full-length debut, Follow the Cyborg, is available now on Mute Records. Next, we close the hour with the first single from Natalie Merchant's upcoming 9th album, her first original material in nearly a decade. Stay with me.
Let's explore the eclectic range of melodies, sounds, and influences from the Latin music scene right here on the SoCal Sound, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. My name is Byron Gonzalez, the host of Bilingual Sounds, a nightly show where I showcase new music from up-and-coming musicians and lovable songs from established bands from all over Latin America, as well as the Latin community here in the States. Join me on Bilingual Sounds, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m.
It's Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. This week's show seems to be featuring a lot of Shiro's returning with new music, new Feist, new Janelle Monáe, and now bring you the first original song to come from Natalie Merchant in nearly a decade. Her 9th album, Keep Your Courage, is out April 14th, and this is Come On Aphrodite featuring Abna Kumson Davis of Resistance Revival Chorus. Check this out.
Come on, Aphrodite, you goddess of love. Come on, Aphrodite, from that mountain above. Come on, Aphrodite, I'm begging you, begging you. I'm begging you, please. Come on, Aphrodite, can't you see that I've been patient? Come on, Aphrodite, can't you see how long I've waited? Come on, Aphrodite, can't you see that I'm wasting? I'm wasting away. Won't you come from the sea? Won't you come from the sea? Oh, appear to me. Won't you come from the sea? Won't you come from the sea? Come on, Aphrodite, I'm begging you, begging you. I
Aretha on She Rose Radio, and brand new music from the singular voice of Natalie Merchant. Come On Aphrodite from Keep Your Courage, her first new album of original material since 2014. It's coming April 14th. And that does it for this week's show. Thanks for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. For more on She Rose Radio, check out SheRoseRadio.com. You can support the show with Patreon or visit the She Rose shop for merch. She Rose is a podcast. You can hear our interviews on the Talkhouse Podcast Network, wherever you get your favorite podcast.